Smokes. I had to like rush to get up here. That was stressful. Hold on, everyone. Hey, everyone, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, my goodness, you look good tonight. I really enjoyed, Sam, that you told them to tell them that their hair looks above average, was it? I liked that. That was funny. Welcome. If you are new tonight, so glad that you are here. My name is Matt Velasco, and I have the privilege of leading the community here. A lot of people ask, you are the high school ministry director. Does that mean I'm going to close this door? Does this mean that you are not a youth pastor? No, I'm still a youth pastor. I'm the youth pastor at Leeds High School Ministry here. Super glad that you are here. We say something around these parts. If you've been here before, you've heard this a dozen times, but we say that this is home. And when we say this is home, we mean that this is a place where it's safe, it's transparent, it's a place where you can feel celebrated, a place where you feel that it is comfortable to cry if you need to, where you can laugh, where you will have fun. And really, I was in Kowalski's today. And I was getting food, and two students came up to me, and they're talking about how they're coming back tonight after a little bit of not being here, and that, to me, is what it's all about. See, my hope, wherever you two are, I haven't seen you yet, but my hope is that when you came back, you took a deep sigh of relief, and you thought to yourself, man, it feels so good to be home, because that's what This Is Home is all about. We have been in a series called The Storyteller. We've been talking about significant stories with significant meaning. Last week, we had one of my closest friends and a hero in my life, Kevin Klingbeil, up on the stage, gave one of the best messages I have ever heard. I kid you not, if you weren't here, go and listen to it on the podcast. It'll be posted like tomorrow because I've been a little bit busy, but for good reasons. For really good, thank you. But it'll be posted tomorrow. I seriously, you should listen to it. But tonight we're going to be wrapping that series up with week four of it. And next week, timely, unplanned, but timely, we're going to be starting a relationship series. We're going to talk the first week, so next week, about singleness and dating. One of the most requested topics that I receive. One of the most requested topics that I receive each and every year is to talk about singleness. And so next week, we're going to be focusing on singleness with a little bit of dating. The week after, we're going to have Kevin Klingbeil on stage again with his wife, Olivia Klingbeil. And they're going to talk about dating and marriage. So a little bit of dating in both. But the second week, we'll focus on marriage. The first week, we'll focus on singleness. It's going to be a ton of fun. I cannot wait for it. Well, we've started something. Austin, you can come up on stage again. We've started something in 2020 where we have started having our students read the scripture for the week. And the reason why we started doing this, you may not know this, but a ton of churches, a ton of communities have started proclaiming that 2020 is the year of the Bible. It started with a local ministry called Pulse. And I believe that there's no better people to speak scripture over you than people just like you, people in your shoes. And so students are reading scripture because I want you to hear scripture coming out of the mouths of students. So Austin, take it away.
Thank you. Hey guys, I'm back. So we'll be reading out of Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's up on the screen. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, Austin. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, we are thankful that we get to gather tonight here, that we have an opportunity to learn from you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would speak tonight to the student who's here for the first time, for the fifth time, for the 10th, for the 100th time. God, we love you. We praise things in your name. Amen. So what Austin just read was the NIV version of what is called the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. What he read, they oftentimes call that one. It's the same thing, but the language is a little bit different. They call it the parable of the bag of gold, of the bags of gold. So if you're following along on screen, it's a little bit different. And the reason why is because, like a lot of what we've been reading this year, the translation is a little bit janky. The translation can be a little bit confusing as to what we are looking at, as to what we are reading. And so tonight we're going to unpack what is the parable of the talents. My favorite quote about this portion of scripture is this. It says, you have been given talents. Do you know what they are? Do you know how valuable they are? God has given them to you to invest. And someday he will hold you accountable for how you stewarded them. And friends, the reality is that that quote encapsulates what we're going to be talking about tonight. So Andrew, if you can go back to the first slide with the scripture on it, you'll see that the difference between the two is what he read, it was called the bags of gold. What we read is it's called talents. Way back when, thousands of years ago, the word talent was created. And it was created in this ancient context, and it was actually a significant monetary value. And so the reason why NIV says bags of gold is because that's really the only way we have to communicate just how much money a talent was. Like a talent was as if you won the lottery. If you were to go win the lottery, that would be like winning a single talent. And so the amount of money that was being handled here by servants given to them by their master was astronomical. And we're going to come back to that here in a second. What I want you to know is that even though Jesus uses something of monetary value, this parable isn't actually about money. It's about gifts. It's about gifts that God has given you. And so we're going to walk through three points that we see in this parable, and we're going to talk about how it applies to your life, because what we've been doing over the past 4 weeks, this is the fourth week, so the past 3 weeks, is talking about these significant stories with significant purpose and how they apply to your life as a high schooler. And so the first point I have for you, Andrew, you can throw up on the screen. Everyone say, thank you, Andrew. He's the best. God has given each of us certain what I call grace gifts. Grace gifts. Grace Gasson right now is thinking like, yeah, I'm a gift. I thought it would be funny. Whatever. These things are called spiritual gifts. And we as Christians believe that every single Christian receives at least one spiritual gift. You look at this story and you see that the servant or the master gave to one 5 gifts. To another 2 gifts, and to another 1 gift. To one, 5, to another 2, and to another 1. And you might be thinking, why did one get 5? Why did the other get 3? But the point that is being made is that God has given each of us certain grace gifts. For some people, it's simply a gift. For other people, it is multiple. And if you follow Jesus, if you have entrusted your life over to Jesus Christ, who we believe to be God, you have actually received one of these. And what you're going to do tonight in small groups is your small group leader received a little list of all of the different gifts, we call them spiritual gifts, that you can find in Scripture and where you can find them in Scripture. And tonight, my hope is that if you have never actually asked someone what you think your spiritual gift is, that you might actually begin to understand it. But the beauty about spiritual gifts is that it's not like the Enneagram, or it's not like Myers-Briggs, where you can go online and just take a quiz and it will tell you exactly what you have. You actually discover them by people confirming them within you. And so I have found out what my spiritual gifts are because people have said to me, yes, I see you using that. Yes, I see you using that. Yes, I see that in you. And so he says in Matthew 25, verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. The beauty of this is that the master wasn't obligated to give anyone a single gift. And so they are grace given because they are given to you even though you don't deserve them. You see, this master said, hey, I'm going to be leaving, and so I am entrusting my wealth to you. Do good with it. Invest it. Multiply it. Do not allow it to stay stagnant. And God is saying the same things to us. He is giving you a gift, and he is expecting that you use it. And now, the implications of this is that if they are grace given, if they are given to you not because of anything that you have done, then you cannot brag about them. And that's what I love about spiritual gifts, is you're just given it. Like, God doesn't come to you and be like, hey, what do you want? Would you prefer this? Would you prefer that? Fun fact, I've been praying fairly consistently for about 18 years. That's not necessarily true. Probably like, we'll say 10 years. Probably like 10 years that the Lord would just supernaturally give me the ability to sing and play guitar. Guess what I don't have the ability to do? Play guitar. I'm a fantastic singer. That was another joke, and you are not responding well to them tonight, so I'm going to stop. I do not have the ability. Thank you for the pity laughs. I do not have the ability to sing or play guitar, but I kid you not, I will occasionally be like, Lord, if you are good, give me the opportunity to sing and just supernaturally play guitar. And I kid you not, I'll do this. Moment of vulnerability. My little brother has a guitar in his room. Or at least he did. I don't remember last time I did this. But there have been times when I have just sat down, picked up the guitar, and started playing just to see if I know how to. And I never do. Because the gifts that we receive are not based off of what we do. They're just given. See, when I was 18 years old, a senior in high school, sitting exactly where you are sitting, I was given the opportunity by my youth pastor, Josh Miller, who was some of your youth pastors. He was the guy who was in this position before me. He gave me the opportunity to teach for my very first time as an 18-year-old. And the experience that I had is I came up on the stage and I started talking, and then I got off the stage and I didn't realize anything I had said. And it was in that moment when I realized that one of my spiritual gifts was to actually teach. And so your gift is something that you discover and it's confirmed. And Josh came up to me that night and said, dude, I think you're supposed to teach. And not teach like in a classroom setting, but teach like in a church setting. The implication is that none of us have any grounds for bragging about these talents. And what I love, the Apostle Paul says this about the gospel, and it applies here also in regards to receiving these talents. He says this, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So, if you received it, don't act like you earned it, is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, don't act like you went out and did the thing that gave you that gift, and you were good enough, and you were faithful enough, and you gave enough, or you served enough, and that's why you have the gift that you have. Friends, I had never given a message before in my whole entire life. I got up here, and all of a sudden, I was preaching. Now, not every gift is that easy. Not every gift is that simple. You may not discover it that easy. But my bet is that some of you have a wrestling in your soul that you are meant to do something. I can tell you right now, Caroline Blomberg, our high school ministry intern, has the gift of empathy. She will feel other people's feelings whether or not she wants to. I do not have that gift. I have to learn empathy. I have to choose to be empathetic. She, like, literally can't control it. And it's beautiful because it is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And it's also important that what we see in this is that in Matthew 25, 15, it says, he gave talents. He gives them away freely. He gives them away freely and we receive them. And now the English translation, like I was saying here, is actually pretty janky. It doesn't communicate the original intent well, which is why the NIV chose to go direction of just purely monetary. I actually think that's a mistake. So I think getting rid of the word talent is a mistake because the word talent is actually this word dunamis. This word dunamis, and I have a slide right there for you. It's dunamis, and what God is saying is that he gives us a certain amount of dunamis to actually invest this. So if you're taking notes, write down that word because the word talent is derived from this word dunamis, and it means power, which comes from, or dunamis is actually the root word for our word dynamite. So he gives us dynamite power, like this incredible power. It could also be translated as capability. And so God doesn't just give you a talent, he gives you the power to do it. And now the issue with this is that you might think, because it says this, he gave talents to each according to his ability, to each according to his dunamis, that's that ability, dunamis, that it's because of your ability that you receive more talents. So I said the word talent is the word dunamis. That was wrong. I misspoke. The word ability is dunamis. And so you might read this and be thinking, okay, so Matt, because you can teach and because you do it often, because you practice it, does that mean that God is going to give you more gifts, whereas God isn't going to give me more gifts? But that's not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying. Rather, what he is saying is that the better... the better, the more that you seek, the more that you steward, God may give more gifts. He may. See, this dunamis is like this, right? Imagine Austin were still up here and I gave him a remote control car. And I said, okay, use it. I said, hey, I registered you in a remote control car race. Go and compete. Go and race. Go and do it. And I gave him the shell of the car with no batteries in it. He wouldn't succeed. See, the gift is still there. The gift, the car, is still there. You look at the car, it's present. It just doesn't have its power. The dunamis, the ability, the power, the capability, is the batteries to the car. That allows Austin, in this analogy, to actually do that race. And so dunamis is important because it's actually the way in which you use the power. And so we notice about these talents is that, yes, they are grace gifts, but God also gives us the power to invest them. And so scholars... and I hope you're tracking with me. Scholars, for a really long time, have attempted to understand how much would a talent be in modern-day equivalents. So you heard me say that some people translate simply as just a bag of gold because you can't really communicate how much money it was. Well, some scholars, and this is really the only translation or the currency translation that we received, some scholars would say that a single talent was akin to about $600,000. And so what that would mean is that the one who received five talents received $3 million. The second received $1.2 million. And the third received $600,000. And you might be thinking, Matt, holy smokes, there's a difference between $3 million and $600,000. Why did one get three and the other get only $600,000? But what we have to understand is from the perspective of the master, no stewardship was unimportant. No stewardship was unimportant because each servant received something of great value. See, I bet if I were to give you $600,000 right now, you'd be pretty happy. And I bet, too, if I were to give your neighbor $1.2 million, that $600,000 would still be quite a lot of money. It would still be quite a lot of money. And so the implication of this is that we cannot undervalue anything we have been given. Some are given more, some are given less, but all are given much. Some are given more, some are given less, but all are given much. Jesus tells us in a different portion of Scripture, he says this, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more." And so the much that you are given, whether it's $600,000, whether it's a single talent, or whether it's five talents, whether you have one single spiritual gift or you have five spiritual gifts, much is expected. And this is why the master got so mad. So you might be thinking, man, that master is cruel. How could he get so mad at the person that just buried their gift? How could he do that? He didn't do anything wrong necessarily, right? Like, he just buried it. He just kept it safe. But why is he called wicked and slothful? Why is he called lazy? Why is he called evil? Simply for burying the gift. Well, the implication is this, friends. It's as if God gives you a gift and you say, no, I'm going to bury it. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to act like it's over there. See, I'm too afraid of damaging it, right? Like, God, I know you're calling me maybe to teach. God, I know you might be calling me to have empathy. I know you might be calling me to do whatever these other spiritual gifts might be. But I'm hiding it because I'm scared. You're lazy. You're what the master calls slothful. Because the significance is that God has given you much. And what that means is that much is required. See, James says that faith without works is dead. You do not receive faith because of works, but because of faith, you get to do works. See, as Christians, when we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are ways in which we can actually see God move in our schools. You might be thinking, Matt, how do I get more in touch with God? A great way to do it, discover what your spiritual gifts are and start doing whatever those are. Start doing it. Don't bury it. Because if you bury it, you are lazy. See, we never want to hear these words, wicked and slothful. Slothful is just an ugly word. Wicked is just, it's a condemning word. What we do want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. What we do want to hear is, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Doesn't that sound nice? To have Jesus say to you because you were entrusted with a gift and you actually used that gift, well done. And you might be asking, Matt, how do I actually invest them well? And we're lucky because this dunamis that he gives us is the actual supplication that we need to invest them. And so the third point is this. God expects us to employ all the power he supplies to invest what he entrusts. See, God's expectation for us is that we actually invest what he gives us. And spiritual gifts are a crazy thing because, and I can speak from personal experience here, I hate speaking in public. You might think that's a shocker, but I hate doing it. I love doing this. But if you come to me and you're like, hey, can you come and speak at this thing? Or hey, can you do anything that isn't like preaching? It terrifies me. Because I am the most introverted person I have ever met. And few people believe me when I say that. But it's true. The reason why I can do this is because of the dunamis that God has given me. Because of the power that God has given me. See, because I am teaching, I actually somehow am not stressful. But if we have a gathering of 20 staff people here at Westwood and they ask me to share one highlight that will take 10 seconds, I am literally quivering. Seriously, it is terrifying. But here is where I get to invest in God's dunamis. Here's where the power that God has given me gives me the grace I need to do the thing he has called me to do. Paul says all over, and I have a whole slide with a ton of them here, about this grace that is given, about the things that allow him to do what God has called him to do. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. See, here he's talking about how he has been planting churches, and somehow these churches are multiplying, not because of him, but because of the power of God. He says, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. You see, here he's simply just talking about the authority that God has given him. In Romans 12, verse 6, he says, having spiritual gifts, these talents that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. They are different, but they are grace given, so let's use them. Let's invest them. And finally, in Ephesians, and these are just a couple of the areas where he does this, he says, but grace was given each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. See, all of this reinforces the point that God expects us to employ all the power, all the capabilities he supplies to invest what he entrusts us with. See, my question is this. Have you buried your gift? If you are sitting here tonight and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, that Jesus Christ is the King of your heart, that you understand the gospel, that you have sacrificed your life for Christ, that you understand the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, lived a perfect life that you could not live, died a death that you could not die, and was resurrected to life that you cannot live apart from him. If you understand that, then friends, you have received the Holy Spirit. Some people might tell you, you have yet to receive the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit in fullness. And you have been given at least one spiritual gift. The question is this, are you burying it? Or are you investing it? Are you burying it? Are you acting like it doesn't exist? Or are you investing it? You see, this is sobering. Because it reveals to us in our own selfishness that we are prone to act like the wicked and slothful servant who did nothing with the gift that God gave him. See, I don't know about you, but there are moments when I'm sitting and I'm thinking about my spiritual gifts and whether or not I'm acting in them, and I realize I haven't been. And then I feel this kind of like sorrow of regret and conviction. But the grace of God allows us to shake off that wickedness and slothfulness and be more like the two servants who rightfully invested the gifts God gave them. And while the truth is that this is sobering and thought-provoking, it's also liberating for these two reasons, and I want to read this for you. The first reason, God himself supplies us with everything you need, both the talents and the power needed to invest them. He gives you everything you need. It is not something you need to find. It is not something you need to search for. It's not something you even need to ask for. It is something that you have been given already. It is within you. You can use the gift that God has given you. Yes, you can get better at it. Yes, I'm a better teacher now than I was when I was 18. But you can do it because of the power within you. And the second thing is this, realizing this frees us from comparing ourselves with others. See, we can be free from envying other servants who are more talented or have a greater capacity than you do. We're human. I hear people teach sometimes and I'm like, my goodness, why can't I teach like that? Or I watch Caroline have empathy for people and just turn it on like that. And I'm like, why can't that be me? Or Sherry Whistler, who's our admin, there's a gift that's actually administration. And I see the way that she does her job and I'm like, my life would be so much easier if I was like that. But what this does is actually frees us from envying other people, and it also frees us from judging servants who have less or believing that you have more power and capacity than them. Because friends, and my final thought is this, and I'm going to pray and we're going to go to small groups. You are each accountable to the grace that has been given to you. And accountable is a big word here. You are responsible for investing the gift that God has given you. And so my question is this, have you buried your gift? I'm going to pray for us and you can go to small groups. Lord, we love you. We ask tonight that students would walk out of the doors of this church having begun the journey of discovering their spiritual gifts. Lord, it doesn't just end now. It's not a survey that we take, but rather, Lord, it is something that people call out in us and people confirm in us. So God, I pray that you would give leaders wisdom to be able to identify gifts in students tonight. I pray that you would give students wisdom to be able to identify gifts in themselves and others tonight. Lord, we are better off when we are investing with the gifts that you have given us. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to bury our gifts. We praise things in your name. Amen. Y'all.